Well, hello, everyone. I'm Steve Martin. I'm here with Ken Ehrenfeld. He's from Amarillo, Texas. And we're going to talk a little bit about his journey into the truth and the ministry he's involved in. And, just whatever it is that he wants to talk about. So, Ken, we're glad to have you here this morning. And let's just start off, you tell me a little bit about yourself and maybe your religious background a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm retired now. I'm pushing 80 years old. I'll be 80 in June. So thank God he's given me this longevity. And every moment I can, I try to praise him and glorify him. So this is an honor for me. I've known Clyde for a number of years, even before visiting him here 4 years ago. So, but prior to him and starting out, I was born and raised in a Catholic family. And so at the early age, my mother, who was the matriarch of the family, my father was a traveling salesman, so he was in and out, but she made sure that I had an early religious background. And when I got to the point when I questioned that, when I didn't see her or my dad go to Catholic Mass or midnight Mass during Christmas time, I got to the point where I said, how come I have to go and you don't have to go? And she said, when we were children, we went, and all children need to get religion. So that was it. That was the end of the conversation. So fast forward, I went into the military, got married in the military. Now, all this time, I'm still Catholic. Had a military wedding, but even though I never ever darkened the door of a Catholic church, once I got, let's say, in a teenage, I just never went anymore. I never got anything out of it. That was back in the time when the Mass was done in Latin, so you didn't know what was going on anyway. So so when I got married, prior to getting married, my mother said, now, because I got married in Hawaii, and my mother wanted to make sure that my wife-to-be was Catholic. She didn't want me marrying out of the Catholic Church, which meant if that was the case and in agreement with my wife, then everything was good. But that meant that my wife had to go to Catholicism classes to learn how to become a Catholic, if you will. So she went to these classes, and then because that meant that a priest could marry us. Priests ain't going to marry anybody that's not Catholic. So at least back then, I don't know what it is now, but so she became Catholic, much to the chagrin of her parents, who were Baptists. So so you can imagine I really started off in their good graces. So we went back to Ohio, and where her parents were from. And we had a child prior to me getting out of the military, a daughter. And we never went to Catholic or Baptist churches. We just didn't go. Like I mentioned to Clyde yesterday, we were home churches, be that we went to the bedside Baptist with Reverend Snores. That was what we did on Sunday. So anyway, we had no religious affiliation at all. But as you know, summertime in religion, they have vacation Bible school. So they big signs plastered up and all over the place. So my daughter had some friends who were going to go to vacation Bible school, and it was a Baptist vacation Bible school. So my daughter went. Okay. So You know, it only lasted 2 weeks, but during that time, she came home one day and she was all excited because she heard about Jesus Christ. And wow, you know, she was all excited. And I remember that day specifically because I said, now, I told my wife, I said, now, wait a minute. Just wait a minute, you know. And I protested about that. Well, my wife, you know, about her learning about this Jesus Christ from somebody else. Well, and my wife said, well, Ken said, just what do you know about Jesus Christ? What could you tell our daughter about Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. I couldn't tell her a thing about it. I knew nothing about other than, you know, the Catholic Church. You go there and he's still hanging on a wooden cross in every Catholic church you go into. I guess he's just still there reminding you of your sin. So, you know, and how unworthy you are. So anyway, I couldn't do it. So I finally got roped into going. And then I went to Baptist Sunday mornings. And as it would be, I heard the altar call one day. And I went up and I accepted Jesus Christ. So I got at that time. And all I need to know, I got saved in a Baptist church. That was it. And so then I became very active. I drove Noah's Ark. That was the church bus. And I picked up all the kids. I got super active. Anything I can do, you know, I was hoping to become a deacon. So I figured the busier I was, and in the pastor's eyes, I might have a shot at being a deacon. So I did everything that I possibly could, from cleaning up the church to driving the school bus to heading bake sales, you know, all the stuff that they do in religion. But then something happened. God happened. And he started dealing with me that, you know, there were things that were going on outside the Baptist church that I might want to look into. Or so I thought, yeah, why not? So my next step up was to Oral Roberts Ministry. Ah, now we're seeing the miracles and signs and stuff. And so now I'm getting into it, you know, because a guy with a powerful God that's doing these miraculous things. We went to Oral Roberts University, bought every book that Oral Roberts had. Actually, didn't have to buy any of them because they were just giving them away free. And so read those books, was really fired up. Used the Bible, not as a sword, but as a club. Started beating people over the head with it. You know, it just, oh my gosh. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But anyway, then we moved from Ohio. I got a job transfer to Amarillo, Texas. And this was in 1986. But I had had enough of Oral Roberts and, I had enough of religion. But so you might say that, you know, people looked at me and say, well, you had enough of God. You know, yeah, okay, sure. But anyway, I got out of it, and we never, ever went one way. So fast forwarding again, I was on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, of all things. And I was traveling back to New Jersey from where I was born. Went back to see relatives. I was all by myself. My wife couldn't go. And as I was traveling on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I was looking for a new Bible. I said, you know, I had different editions. All had my name all written in it. You know, I mean, real high dollar stuff. But I was still looking for a new Bible. And from there, when I got put or sat down and started searching, I came across a website with Study Shelf. So I opened up that, and I ran into, there was some stuff in there by a fellow everybody knows, Martin Zender. And there's some stuff there. And he was espousing everybody's going to be saved, you know. And I said, wait a minute. Whoa, I never heard this before. Even Oral Roberts didn't know this, or he didn't say this. So I said, what? So I came back from New Jersey. It wasn't about 2 weeks later. I was on the back porch of the place that we had, and we had a hot tub there. And I was just standing there, and I was listening to a tape by Phil Sheridan. And he was on this, you know, everybody's going to be saved. Nobody's going to miss the boat. Everybody's going home. You know, it's going to be, and they live forever after, happily. Everybody. I mean, like the end of a fairy tale. And then all of a sudden, man, I just started. This is the first time in my life that I experienced tears of joy, because that meant I was going to see my whole family again. And, you know, they were Catholics. They only went when they were kids. So what did they do? They knew what I knew when I was a kid, which was literally nothing. And I was going to see, and all my friends that had died early, you know, tragically. And I was going to see everybody. And most tears of joy started flowing and going. And wow, I said, oh, my gosh. It seemed like the weight of the world just lifted off my shoulders. And from there, well, I got into Phil Sheridan. I got into Martin Zender. And then I got into the man who stuff was all about, who started it. And I started a collection. I probably don't have every book that he has, but I bet I passed out every book that he has to willing or unwilling listeners. And as I got into what I believe God had a calling for me as, and that was to get this material to educational institutes, which meant colleges. Started out when getting it to Christian colleges, and then got, it didn't matter if they were Christian colleges or they were not, they were going to get God's books. They were going to get the truth. Oh my gosh, the truth. I mean, what price is truth worth? This, and so they were going to get the truth. And I remember, I still think of myself just as a seed planter. That's all I do. I may, you know, if hit someone up or some school up that someone has this same opinion, so then I would might become a seed waterer. But praise God, he gives the increase in his time whenever it does. If this is doing good, I don't know, but I will someday. Now, I have developed a very small following, because I also try to, on Facebook, I just try to put in a good word, a good phrase. I might use something that Clyde has already put. If I change it so I don't plagiarize it, that they think, because I don't put my name at the bottom. But if I don't change it, then I leave like Clyde's name or somebody else's there. But if I change it, if I think it needs a change, if I, me of all, think that one of these giants need to be edited, I just go ahead and just edit it with another word and so on and so forth. So, but boy, what we think of ourselves as sometime. But anyway, and so that's where my relationship with Clyde came from. And I'm sitting here, I'm blessed, I'm up here for some fellowship. The thing I'm looking for the most that God gives me is peace, quiet, and privacy. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm not, you know, I'm not a guy that goes to these mega churches, although I have been one time or two during my walk to what I would consider a mega church, but I've never followed a televangelist, and I've never been to any of theirs. But it's just me and God. If you know, I believe that God loves you and His Son loves you, what else do you need to know? That's it. I mean, it's so simple. The simplicity of Christ, and yet even today I try to muck it up. It's so simple. So what else? I mean, that just captures me in a nutshell. And
yeah, well, you pretty well covered all the questions I was going to ask you. you did a great job anticipating.
Well,
that's good.
Let me just say that my ex-wife, bless her heart, she said, "Ken, the only time you open your mouth is to change feet." Anyway.
I just wanted to expand on just how this message has impacted you and how you feel about yourself and how you relate to other people and maybe how that's changed from what you were before. And
okay. I guess I could say that my life on this earth is not about me. It's about others. And we're here for others, and we glorify God when we assist others. So anything I can do, large or small, I don't know where it falls in the listing of God's preferences or if God, you know, he doesn't keep score, but and I quit a long time ago of trying to, you know, suck up to him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, I mean, really, really, you know, he doesn't keep score. Yet so many people try to serve God, you know, thinking that God keeps score. He does not keep score. He loves us all the same. Me and you, whatever, whoever it is, our pets. Whatever. And that's another thing, too. I'm very close to animals, you know, maybe closer to animals than I should be and not as close to people that I should be, you know. But anyway, one thing, when I found out, I remember asking, when I lost a cat here the last time that I came to see Clyde about 4 years ago, I came up and I was still carrying a burden about that, you know, and Clyde helped me out through that. There's some books that he directed me to, and then just talking with him that, hey, they are God's creation, and they're going to be there too. So that being the case, wow. Yeah. Oh, smokes. Man, I'm going to see my cats again. And then I got into thinking, okay, well, let's see. What's it going to be like when I see these cats? And they go, well, I'm of the persuasion. And maybe you might going to edit this out, but I believe that Adam had conversations with animals. Absolutely did. I mean, if he's going to name them, he's talking with them. I back this up by saying, well, wasn't it the serpent that talked to Eve, actually talked to Eve? So that's where I'm at. So I'm interested in talking with my pets, and I've had a plethora of pets, and every one of them. I mean, it's just, you know, birds, cats, dogs, so on and so forth. As far as, and the relief and the freedom, I can sleep. I'm a kind of guy that just can't go to sleep. I never take naps. I'm just not a napper, but I'm a kind of guy just can't go to sleep. When it's time to go to sleep, I'm always reading. And when I read the same paragraph three or four times, it's time for me to shut it up and go to sleep. But I have a peace now that passes all understanding. it's so hard. Because like I said earlier, what price is peace worth? What price is truth worth? When you know the truth, then you get the peace. And that is, I cannot put it into words. I can just say, wow, and that's it. And when you get back to praising God, every adjective you could think of that is a pro adjective and, you know, exemplifies God and magnifies it, it still falls so short. But you can just wrap it up in just two words. Thank you. That's what else could say it possibly better? So if you keep an attitude of gratitude, because the only thing I believe that God doesn't control in our life is our attitude. So keep an attitude of gratitude and be thankful and bless his name. That's so changing my life. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This ain't the same guy that followed Oral Roberts, went to the Baptist, got saved in the Baptist church. No, this ain't that guy. Now, you would have edited him completely out. I wouldn't even be here then. But thank God that in this miraculous how he brings us together. We were just mentioning yesterday how we did come together, you know, how God brought us together through different circumstances. And wow, you know, you just can't believe you walk sometimes. And how did I get to here from where I was? You know, so thank you.
It's all about God. God working in your working in our lives, and just
a little bit
of here. Yeah. And yeah, sometimes that there's no reason I should be talking to you. You know, but God, God brought us on our journeys and our paths, and here we are today.
Yeah,
October 20th, 2024, having a chat, and you know, we feel that bond in our hearts, and
yeah,
that's special. So,
yeah, wow, this is not. I never dreamed he ever forewarned me that hey, you want to be interviewed on the YouTube. I mean, he didn't even say that to me, you know. And I got up here, and then yesterday I was mentioning that. I didn't even know that y'all had anything going on YouTube. And now he sent me a link to it. And I can't wait till I get into the quiet confines of my place in Amarillo because, man, I got some catching up to do.
Well, I'm good. This is a good place to close. Thank you, Ken, for your time and your testimony, your real encouragement to me, and I'm sure you will be a real encouragement to others. So,
well, glory to God. He deserves all the praise, and thank you for your ministry. This has been a real blessing to me.